Heavenly Father, we come before you. We give you thanks for everything that you've done in this last year. And I know that in this year to come, you have so many things planned. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with us this morning and you would open up our eyes to new things and to more about your character and who you are. I pray that you would touch our lives and minister to us in this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So this morning, the title of the sermon, as you may say, is "What's Your Guide?" What is guiding you? What's pushing you forward or driving you to continue on to a certain path? And now, a lot of people may decide, you know, when they're going on a trip, to turn on the GPS and say, you know what, take me there. And then, as you're going, if you have a smartphone, sometimes as things come along, it'll come up with a notification saying, hey, would you like to take this alternative route? The route that you're currently on is going to be even longer. Would you like to, you know, diverge and go somewhere else, you know, to get around that and get there quicker? And I could tell you that in life, lots of times there's a lot of curves and bumps. It's never a straight line. But every year, I think it's funny because we always start the year where certain goals or promises, or many times we're like, this year, I'm going to do this. I know of a lot of people that have every single year, you know, first week of the year, they get their membership at the gym promising that they're going to get in shape, and that's about as far as they get. And then some people, you know, decide, you know what, this year I'm going to go on this special diet. They'll go out, get all these things. Oh, I need the special herbs or these things for this diet. And after going and cooking it for the first time, they're like, that was a lot of work. And then they're like, you know what, little by little, they're doing it, they're going along, but then slowly they're like starting to kick back over because, you know, I just don't have all the time I want to really do this. And they start going back and slowly start creeping away from what their goal was. Now, this year, we're getting better. But, I mean, this year, it's not about, you know, how many people are end up going to canceling their gym membership, or how many people are going to stop on that doing that diet, or how many people are going to stop on that weight loss goal. You know, some people, you decide, you know what, I want to do something really different. I want to even maybe study a new class or do a course to learn a new skill or something. And then halfway through it, they're like, I just don't have the time for this class. But it's not about that, because many times when things start to happen, it's, you know, when you're on that diet and, you know, that chocolate cake looks really tempting, the same thing happens in our spiritual life. When we're on our walk with God and we're like, I've promised and I've committed with God that I'm going to do something, and then temptation comes along and, you know, you've been walking in that fast for a day and that chocolate cake just looks really good. But what's guiding us to what's going to allow us to continue forward in our spiritual walk when we're walking with the Lord and with the promises that we have committed ourselves to? But the real question is, what do we let guide us? This last year, if you think back, I'm pretty sure that every single one of us can think of one moment or another that things did not go the way we wanted, that things made it become difficult. And in my personal experience, you know, this last year was a difficult time. It was really hard because in the beginning of the year, I was struggling with trying to find a job to be able to provide for my family. And then later on, when things I felt like were getting going well, and then my dad had his heart attack, and then all of the problems and things that started happening after that situation. But when we're looking at these difficult times, what is it that guides us? What keeps on pushing us forward? And we're going to read in Exodus chapter 13, 20-22. It says, after leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar or the cloud by day nor pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. So I'll tell you something. You know, sometimes when you put on the GPS, if you're on a corner and you have to turn right, but it doesn't really know which direction you're on. Sometimes it wants you to make this weird circle around, and you end up right back where you are before you take a right. God doesn't do that. Because God literally is this beacon saying, go this way. And it's our choice to either continue following and go forward following God no matter what the situation may be or what we're walking through, or if we might diverge or walk along or a different path that might be easier for in our aspects or what we're thinking. But no matter the situation that we find ourselves in, God is the guide or would be our guide if we allow him to be that. The real question is, are we sheep that follow our shepherd, or are we goats that follow with food that looks delicious? What looks good or appetizing in that moment, or are we going to follow the shepherd because the shepherd knows where we're going? Because I could tell you, you know, herding sheep is probably a lot easier than trying to herd goats. And you're going to arrive at the destination on time rather than your end goal, rather than be like, what happened to that one? Well, I'll eventually find him one way or another. But the world is full of distractions. So the real question is, what is guiding us? What is our main focus? Are we focusing on God and his plan and purpose for us? Or are we focusing on our wants and desires? Are we letting the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and our spiritual leaders to guide us? Or are we being guided by bad news? Are we being guided on how much money we have on the bank or inflation or how bad the health reports came out? What is guiding you? My first, one of the points I have here is, are the long-term blessings of God worth less than the short-term privileges? Because many times I feel like that's what we're looking at. We're looking at our short terms. Well, that chocolate cake, you know, I know it's not good for me in the long term, but boy, am I going to enjoy it while I'm eating it. But are we thinking about the long term blessings that God has planned for us? Because let me tell you, a moment on this earth can mess up all of our eternity. If we're wandering in the desert, now, what I'm saying in the wilderness or the desert, and hopefully it's not 40 years like the Israelites, even though, you know, sometimes a few months can feel like a long time. But with different situations, we have to really put it in perspective of what is the long-term goal here. Continuing in Exodus, and chapter 32, verse 1, it says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Now, in this situation, Moses had been up in the mountain for 40 days and nights. For some, like I said, 40 days and 40 nights might seem like a long time. For some, you know, after years of a certain situation, it's like, well, that's not very long. So, but depending on your situation, it may feel like a very long time. But the crazy thing is that this entire time, up until they get to this point, they've been guided by God with pillars of cloud and a pillar of fire. And now they're saying, well, why don't you let's make a false god and that one can go in front of us. But who's going to guide it? Are you guys going to push it around? Oh, it's this way because the cart's going that way. But that's not what we're looking for. When we are wandering in the wilderness and not completely submitted to our guide, doubt is a terrible enemy. If we are not completely submitted to God, that doubt, is this the right way? Is this the right path? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing what God wants me for? If you are doubting the path that God has put before you, it is a terrible enemy. And the only thing it's going to do is cause you to fall and go along the wrong path. It would be almost like when I'm driving with my wife, she has the GPS, and I keep driving just planning, thinking she's going to tell me when to turn, and the turn was right there. Oh, well, now I got to find a way to go back. I know none of the men have ever had that situation happen before, right? No. But, I mean, even throughout Exodus, we can see all of these complaints and whining that the Israelites did instead of focusing on the long-term blessings that God had in store for them. And because they wanted something very specific right now. Because, you know, when reading through the chapters, when I was growing up, it was funny because I listened to Frank Peretti. He had a soundtrack that he would do basically Bible stories for kids. And his persona was Mr. Henry. Don't know if you know what that is, but it was, for a child, very entertaining. And he tells the story of when they said they were wanting meat. He said, and he wanted meat. And he said, so God gave them meat until it made them sick. It's like, okay, if you're going to complain, well, here you go, but I'm just going to give you a ton of it until you stay. Okay, I don't want it anymore. Thank you, God. I'm done. But, I mean, they were complaining, you know, I want meat, or this water's bitter, or, you know, those people are scary, you know, I don't want to take them on. I'd rather, you know, stay in the desert for 40 years. So what does God do? He gives them meat until they're sick of it. They didn't want to fight to take the land that that God had promised them, and so he makes them wander the desert for 40 years. These situations, because we're not looking at the long-term goal of what God has planned for our lives, well, what do we end up doing? We end up doing 40 laps in the parking lot. And we as a church and people of God, we need to get over ourselves. Just follow him, believe where he is leading us, and that thorny bush, even though it might look appetizing to eat right now, is not what God's long-term plan is for us. You know, it might, that thorny bush may look good for a goat, but I'm pretty sure that where the shepherd wants to take you, there's going to be something a lot better to nibble on. God knows our wants. He knows our desires, and he knows our needs. But don't you think that God knows us better than ourselves? That he can offer us something we couldn't even have imagined that we wanted. You know, you might, when you're growing up, I was like, oh, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. All these big term goals, I'm going to go to the moon. You know, whatever, as a child, you might imagine that you want to do. But never in your wildest dreams, when you start working and following the path that God has for you, when these things start to happen, you're like, I could never have imagined this. This wasn't even in my short-term or long-term goals. This wasn't even on my radar. But God does these things because he knows us better than we know ourselves. And when we were born, when we came into existence, he has a plan and purpose for our lives. And the same thing happens to be that God has a plan and purpose for this next year that's coming. But it's time to step out of the pan and into the fire. We have to trust in God that's guiding you. Because I could tell you one thing, you know, when you're standing in the pan cooking, but you look outside and you see fire, you're like, I'm kind of comfortable right here, thank you very much. But let me tell you, if God wants you to jump into the fire, it's probably because he wants you to finally get out of this situation, but it's going to hurt because you have to go through a process to be able to get out of it. But we have to trust in God. And there's a great example of this in Daniel chapter 3, 19 to 27 says, the Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many know this story? It says, his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing fire. I'm scared for Spanish because these names are difficult in Spanish. So these men wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men firmly tied fell into the blazing furnace. Now, how many just know they went from the pan and into the fire at that moment?
And then it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. The fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the straps, the prefects, and the governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not torched or scorched. I'm not doing well today. And there was no smell of fire on them. So let me tell you that, you know, I'm sure that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't know that God was going to save them. Because, you know, when you know that something's going to save you, you're like, oh yeah, I'm good, I can do it. But it takes a lot more faith to trust in God to say, no, it doesn't matter if I am to perish. I'm not going to do what you're asking me to do because I love my God. And to be thrown in the fire, like, oh, look, we're okay. We're fine. And this is the same situation. You know, it may be that when we jump from the pan and into the fire that we get burned. But we have to trust in God because we don't know what God's plans is. And it may be that when we jump into the fire, we do not get burned. We don't get singed. Why? Because we have God on our side and we're following his path that he has set before us. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were faithful and they accepted their fate. They said, you know, if I'm to die, I would rather die being faithful to God. Now, I don't know what God has planned for this new year that we're going into. However, I can tell you that without a doubt, like this year that's passing, there will be trials, there will be temptations and burdens at some point, because that's life. But who's your guide? Who is guiding you? If God asks you to jump into the fire, then trust him. Are you going to be comfortable cooking in the pan? Or were you ready to jump into the fire so he can lead you to something else? Now, at the start, I spoke a little bit about some of the difficulties that I personally and my family went through. Last December, I lost my job, and I was without my job for 5 months, struggling to figure out what's going to happen, how am I going to, you know, provide for my family. And economically speaking, it was terrible. And when my wife would come, I don't know why wives think, you know, it's an emergency when you don't have a job for 5 months. But she's like, what are we going to do? And she hated my response because every time I was like, I don't know, but well, I'm going to trust in God because I know he's going to have something for me. And it might be my ego speaking because she would say, well, why don't you go get something, even though it might be a little bit, why don't you get a job so we have some kind of income coming in? And I would tell her, I don't want to accept a job or position that's not going to even allow me to pay for the minimum requirements of our home's necessities. Because I feel like God has something planned for us, or for me, or for what our situation is. And I had taken different positions, tried different things, and finally in May, I got a phone call out of the blue from a man I didn't know, never heard of him before. And he told me that he received my information from another person I had never heard from or ever spoken to that said, oh, yeah, I found your information online, or my friend found your information online, sent it to me, said I should probably call you. And I've been working with that man since that time. And that person has been allowing me to work remotely here in Mexico with being with my family rather than having to be in the United States. And I could definitely say that that's something that God sent, because I didn't know this person. How was I supposed to go and say, hey, can I work for you? I had never heard of him. I mean, I had never been to Chicago before. And then we finally got through that emergency, and then the situation happened with my dad. And so thing after thing, situation after situation, difficulties happen. And we can say, you know, there was a big scare when what happened with my dad. But I could definitely say that we could, as a church, we saw the hand of God. That even though times are hard or become difficult and trials, we can see temptations, we can see bad situations, God has a plan and purpose for every situation. And God is in control if we allow him to be in control of our lives. If we don't deviate from his plan or from his path that he's put for us, that we can rest assured that even though we might be passing through hard times at this moment, it will pass because it's just a moment. And this year that's coming, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, when I look around at the world, at the things, the way the world has changed, because I could definitely say in the last 3-4 years, the world has become a very different place. And I don't know what God has planned. I don't know what the world has planned either. But I could tell you that God has a plan. God has a purpose. And who do we have as our guide this year? Who are we setting up as our guide? Who are we going to trust to lead us to the place that they have planned for us? Are we going to be challenged to move or based on finances, inflation, or bad health reports? Are we going to be about bad news or what things are going on in the world? Or are we going to look to God and say, God, where are you taking me? Where's my next goal? Where am I focusing on? And as God had with the Israelites said, it was always going ahead of them, right in front of them. If we're going to look at God and say, okay, I'm just going to keep walking as long as I can see you in front of me, I'm going to keep walking. Is that going to be us this year? Because I'm going to challenge you, it's going to be hard. Especially when we're walking on rough terrain, trying to follow a guide sometimes is difficult. When I was in Arizona, I went hiking a couple times, and then I said never again. The person I was walking with, I'm like, you're going up there? And then halfway up, I'm like, and they understood that I needed a rest. And the same thing might happen. I need a moment. But that's when we have to look to the Word. That's when we have to look to the Holy Spirit. That's when we have to look to our spiritual leaders and say, help. I'm tired. I need prayer because I need strength from God to continue forward. And so I challenge you this morning that you are not alone. When the difficult times come, it's not just you and the world against the world, because we're one body in Christ. That follow the path that God has put in front of you. And when the times become hard, go to the Word of God, go to the Holy Spirit, and go to the body that's next to you. And say, pray for me. Don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Don't be afraid to say, you know, times are hard. Don't be afraid to say, you know, I need assistance because the world is trying to knock me down, but I need God's blessing. I need God's help. So this morning, I encourage you, if right where you're at, if you feel like where you're going into a hard times, you say, you know what, I need God's help. I'm ready to follow through, but I, as one body of Christ, we're going to walk through and we're going to go forward while following God. I just invite you to stand to your feet this morning and let's go to prayer for this new year, that God will guide us. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We don't know what this new year is going to bring, but together as a body of Christ, we're going to trust in you. We're going to trust that you know what is planned. You know what's going to happen, Lord, before it happens. And we may not know what the situation may hold, but we are going to trust that you do. And their eyes are going to be focused on you. And that us as a body of Christ, we're going to be here to stand along one another. To say, you know, if I see my brother or my sister is falling, I'm going to be there to catch them. To lift each other up in prayer. To lift each other up in encouragement. And words of affirmation. Say, you can do it. You can keep going forward. Lord, I pray that you give us the strength to continue on, even though we might be jumping from the pan and into the fire, and it might be scary and it might be hard, that you would give us the courage and you would give us that word to say, I am with you. Go forward ahead of us in this new year, that we may be able to walk alongside you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Go forward and follow God's path. But remember, we're one body. We're dismissed. God bless and Happy New Year to everyone.